From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, good afternoon. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Welcome to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. I am your host, Jody Heiss, a senior vice president here at the Family Research Council and president of FRC Action. We've got a lot coming your way today. First of all, Israel Defense Forces announced yesterday that it had launched some preemptive strikes on Hezbollah launch areas in southern Lebanon in an effort to thwart a major and imminent attack by the Iran-backed terror group.
Israel will not tolerate Hezbollah's attacks on our civilians. We're operating in self-defense from Hezbollah and any other enemy that joins in their attacks against us. And we are ready to do everything we need to defend the people of Israel.
Well, that was IDF spokesman Daniel Hagari yesterday. And we'll be talking about the latest on Israel's war against terror when I'm joined by Texas Congressman Keith Self here in just a little bit. And by the way, we'll also discuss what many view as the first domino by the Biden-Harris foreign policy blunders, that would be Afghanistan. Today, of course, we mark the third anniversary of the attack there at Abbey Gate. And on this day, 3 years ago, we lost 13 brave service members, as well as more than 100 innocent Afghans. We'll be talking about that as well here in just a few moments. And then later on the program, FRC's President Tony Perkins will join me to talk about some of the comments that we've seen come out over the weekend from the Trump-Vance campaign regarding the life issue. And among some of the comments that we've seen include Senator J.D. Vance regarding Trump's disagreement with Senator Lindsey Graham when it comes to protecting babies after the 15th week of pregnancy, which is the time that they can feel pain.
Lindsey Graham himself has not advocated a federal abortion ban. Lindsey Graham has advocated a federal minimum standard. Now, to be clear, that is not Donald Trump's view. Donald Trump disagrees with Lindsey Graham on this.
Well, no doubt about it, a lot of these comments here over the weekend are very discouraging to pro-lifers. But I will say that there at least is some good news to talk about, at least as it relates to the decision last week by Arkansas's Supreme Court. They struck down an effort to enshrine a so-called right to abortion in that state's constitution. Some great news, and I'll be talking with Jerry Cox, who's the president of the Arkansas Family Council, on that issue a little bit later in the program. And then as the program wraps up today, we'll discuss early voting with iVoter Guide President Debbie Werthnow and also with FRC Action's Matt Carpenter. All this, I don't have to tell you, this is an extremely important election coming up, not only as it relates to the White House, but there are also some massively important races in Congress, as well as some referendums. You need to be informed about them, and we'll bring all that information your way as the program wraps up today. So we've got a lot coming your way. Of course, the website, TonyPerkins.com, there's a lot of information and resources there for you, including a brand new Family Research Council 2024 election survey. Now that the national conventions for both parties is all over, Americans are being presented with two different visions for our country. If you are concerned about the direction our nation is headed, then I want to encourage you to make your voice heard with the Family Research Council's 2024 election survey. Trust me, friends, your input can help make a difference. Help make a difference to stand for faith, for family, for freedom. We encourage you to let us know which issues are most important to you this election cycle, and we'll be broadcasting those things, I can assure you. Simply text the word election to 67742 to participate. That's election to 67742. All right, now for our first story today. As we mentioned earlier, today marks a very solemn anniversary. It was 3 years ago today that 13 brave service members lost their lives in a terrorist attack at the Abbey Gate just outside of Kabul Airport. That was all part of the Biden-Harris administration's disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan. I, for one, will never forget that day. In addition to our service members, there were more than 100 innocent Afghans who lost their lives that day as well. And who knows how many more lives have been lost as a result of the weakness portrayed by this administration on the world stage. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Keith Self. He himself served our country for over 25 years before retiring with the rank of lieutenant colonel. And I will just add, during his time of service, he deployed to Grenada, to Bosnia, to Afghanistan, Qatar. He was part of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And now he's a member of Congress. He serves the House Veteran Affairs Committee as well as the Foreign Affairs Committee. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Self, always an honor to have you on the program, my friend. Welcome back.
Good to see you, Jody. Thank you.
All right. So your thoughts, this somber third anniversary.
First of all, I just really appreciated your news program just a few minutes ago, naming their names. This is the day to remember their ultimate sacrifice for the United States made because of the most disastrous political decision in the military realm in the last 100 years. There is no doubt President Trump was at Arlington National Cemetery today at the invitation of the families of the 3 members that are buried there at Arlington National Cemetery. So this is a day to remember them, but it's also a day to remember why they lost their lives.
Yeah, and listen, I thank you for noticing the reading of those service members' names. I likewise just, listen, we got it. We have to do that, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Congressman, I think a lot of people would argue that Afghanistan was probably the first domino to fall. It was the beginning of the global world stage encouraging bad actors like Russia and Hamas. Would you agree with that assessment?
More than that, we lost all our credibility with the weakness of the Biden administration. That's how disastrous that that decision was. Not only did they make our brave service members withdraw overnight, leaving 9,000 American civilians there, over 100,000 Afghans that helped us, than the 13 service members we just talked about. And then within 2 months, Putin started moving troops toward Ukraine. That's how fast we lost our credibility on the world stage. Putin started testing us. Xi started testing us. Iran started testing us. Everyone realized we were weak at that point. At the political realm, our military is still strong. They still do what they are called on to do. But politically, the world recognized that we didn't have the political backbone to act as the superpower.
Yeah, you know, and beyond that, I mean, I remember well the $85 billion plus of equipment that we left behind, and now we're watching that equipment being paraded across the world stage, our equipment now being used against us. It's just the weakness was indescribable, and I think it's important for you to bring up the fact that it was only 2 months afterwards that Putin and Russia invade Ukraine. It's all interrelated. Listen, speaking of Israel, I hope you saw this a little while ago. The Israel Defense Forces, they announced, and we played a clip of it Sunday, yesterday, that they have launched a preemptive attack on Hezbollah positions in southern Lebanon in an effort to try to thwart a major and imminent attack to Israel. What can you tell us? What's the latest that you know about that situation?
I know exactly what's been reported in the news, but as I look at the strategic situation in the Middle East, I served, as you said, with the IDF for a couple of years while I was the desk officer at UCOM. I served in Afghanistan, and then I was in Qatar for the invasion of Iraq. So what I see strategically happening in Israel versus vis-a-vis Gaza and Hezbollah is they are deterring a major response both from Hezbollah and Iran. You'll notice that Iran has not launched their response as well. So I believe that Israel has actually started their strategic surgical strike campaign against Hezbollah. They're going to, after weapon systems. They're going after the leaders. They're going after the critical supplies. So I believe this is a long-term campaign that they are running with these surgical strikes, not all at once, through surgical strikes timed against threats.
Yeah, and I don't know the complete accuracy of all of this, but I was reading earlier that the thwarted attack could have been as many as 6,000 different drones and missiles being launched into Israel, and all of that was potentially thwarted through their preemptive encounter of that kind of attack. Don't you think, really, that the United States even would have reacted the same way? Were we in Israel's shoes? I mean, really, they have the right to defend themselves.
Absolutely, they have the right to defend themselves. I blame a lot of this, though, on the weakness of the Biden administration. Why do we have a third of our Navy in the Middle East focused on Israel and Gaza and Hezbollah? It's because of the weakness of the Biden administration caused this. And so we've pulled naval assets out of the Pacific, where our primary adversary is China. So this is a disaster all the way around in the making. I hope that we can settle this fast. We can get Hezbollah to move north of the Latani River, which is where UNIFIL is supposed to keep them. Jody, once again, we're seeing the UN fail in their mission. Just like they did in Gaza, UNIFIL is not keeping Hezbollah north of the Latani River to give that buffer zone to Israel. We need to establish that line at the Latani River. We need to use our assets to back up Israel and allow Israel to defend itself, just as you said.
Absolutely. Last question, and I always hate when you're on here that it seems like the time just runs by so rapidly, but how concerned are you about how things could unfold in the Middle East if we end up with a Harrison-Waltz administration in November?
The Harris-Waltz-Biden administration, Biden-Harris administration has showed that it leans toward Iran. It has coddled them just like the Obama administration. It has given them billions of dollars. We don't enforce the sanctions on their oil. We coddle Iran under the current administration. I have no doubt that the Harris-Waltz administration, should it happen, God forbid, should it happen, They will do that in spades. They will double down on that because we have two truly committed socialist communists on the Democrat ticket today. Make no mistake about it. I take Harris at her word. I take Waltz at his word. They for years have established their bona fides, their credentials in socialist communist policies.
Wow. Frightening in every way. Thank you, Congressman Keith Sell from Texas. Always an honor to have you on Washington Watch. Thank you for all you do there in Texas, as well as for our great country.
Thank you, Jody.
All right, friends, after the break, you don't want to miss it. I'll be joined by FRC's President Tony Perkins. He is going to weigh in on some of the recent comments that we've seen coming out of the Trump-Vance campaign over the weekend, as it relates to the life issue. Many, many already concerned conservatives are even more concerned after some of the comments that came out this past weekend. And we want to hear from Tony Perkins, not only his thoughts, but where do we go from here with it all? So stick around. Much more coming your way right after the break.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss. Honored to be with you today. All right, the Trump-Vance campaign made some very, very disappointing remarks over the weekend. Those remarks have already stirred up a lot of concerned conservatives and, frankly, have made many of them even more concerned than they have ever been. Precisely on a social media post on Friday, former President Trump stated, "My administration will be great for women and their reproductive rights." And as if that were not enough, then on Sunday, Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. In that interview, he stated that Trump disagrees with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham when it comes to protecting babies after the 15th week of pregnancy. That's when they can feel pain.
Lindsey Graham himself has not advocated a federal abortion ban. Lindsey Graham has advocated a federal minimum standard. Now, to be clear, that is not Donald Trump's view. Donald Trump disagrees with Lindsey Graham on this.
Wow. I mean, really, wow. What are we to make of all of this? Well, joining me now to talk about all of this is the host of Washington Watch, the president of Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. He, by the way, is also the chairman of FRC Action. Tony, I know you got a lot of plates spinning out there. Thank you for taking time to join us by phone.
Well, thank you, Jody, for filling in for me. Yes, I'm actually out on the West Coast in California and hope to join by video, but didn't work out. This is troubling. I mean, I was speaking at a church here in Southern California yesterday, just met with a pastor here in Southern California for lunch. This is an issue. It's a concern. I was actually talking this morning to a pastor in Texas who called me about this. This is fundamental. And my statement over the weekend about this is, you know, God have mercy on us as a nation if the one party that has been advocating for the unborn child and for their mothers abandons its position of life. We're in serious trouble, and that apparently is where the Trump campaign, at least the consultants, are wanting to take the political party and, quite frankly, the country, because we're the only thing standing between abortion till birth at taxpayer funds. That's what the Democratic Party is pushing for. And it looks like the Republicans are running away from their historic position of protecting unborn children.
Yeah, you're so right, Tony. And it's not just the former president. I mean, J.D. Vance, I'm sure you heard the clip we aired just a moment ago, but he said that Trump would veto a federal abortion ban. He also said that Trump, as we just played, disagrees with Senator Graham on the 15 weeks where babies feel pain.
Well, it was interesting. Senator Graham called me yesterday during the altar call of the last service. I was preaching out here. He was calling from the East Coast, obviously. But we talked about this. What is being discussed there is not a ban. What Lindsey Graham has put forward is a measure that is late-term abortions when a child feels pain. So we're not talking about a ban. Now, to be clear, and I've talked about this, you and I have talked about this, I support life from the moment of conception forward, but I know we have to build consensus. We've worked for 50 years to bring about a consensus point to support unborn life in this country. And now we're running away from the ground that we had gained. This is why I was so animated and concerned about the party platform and what took place in Wisconsin earlier this year, because I knew that without something tethering the Republican Party and Republican candidates to a strong position on life, we would end up with something like this. And because Donald Trump is seen as the leader of the Republican Party, others are falling in behind him. And I understand the choices that are between us, and I'm not advocating that people don't vote for him. But I am saying I've taken a little bit of grief from people who have said you shouldn't say anything. Well, I'm sorry. As Christians, as evangelicals in this country, and in the position that I'm in, is we are to be a prophetic voice. We're to be a prophetic voice to the political leaders. We are not to fall in line when their positions are not in accord with biblical truth. Now, again, I'm not saying that we would ever vote for a party who advocates abortion until birth, but what I am saying is we have to hold both parties to the same standard. And when one party gets it wrong and the other party gets it wrong, we should be just as quick to call them out. And this is wrong. What we're seeing is a fundamental change of the Republican Party's decades-long position in protecting unborn children, and we cannot be silent about this, Jody.
Cannot agree with you anymore, Tony. And, you know, it's disturbing to me. This is not the same Donald Trump that we saw back in 2016. I mean, not all of us will remember how he just ripped to shreds, really, the argument from Hillary Clinton on abortion when he made it so clear that ripping a baby out of the womb in the ninth month is not okay with him. And it seems like all that's gone away at this point. So we just got a couple of minutes, Tony. What do you say to voters out there in light of what we're seeing and hearing right now?
Okay. So two things. Number one, let me just be very clear on this, Jody. I've been having conversations with the campaign and others every day about this. So I'm not, you know, I'm not saying one thing and not trying to bring about the right position. The reason I'm talking about this publicly is because the private conversations haven't brought about the fruit that it needs to bring. And that is coming back into alignment with supporting unborn children and their mothers. Now, what does this mean for voters? I mean, we have to speak truth. We have to vote. But we vote for the candidate most clearly aligns with biblical truth. I would just like the contrast to be starker. That's what I'm speaking out about. I want to encourage Donald Trump to take a stronger position on life. I'd love to see the Democrats take a stronger position on life. But if we're silent, nobody's going to change. And so we have to pray, we have to vote, and we have to stand. And standing means we have to speak. We have to speak truth. Whether or not people receive it or agree with it, we are not an appendage of any political party. The church is a prophetic voice to this country, and we have to use the voice speaking the truth that God has entrusted to us.
Perfectly said. Tony Perkins, president of FRC, thank you so much for taking time again. Thanks for the incredible work you do. All right, friends, after the break, we've got a lot more to cover, including some good news coming out of Arkansas. So stay tuned. Much more coming your way on Washington Watch.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. I'm your host for today, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you on board with us. All right. Last week, the Arkansas Supreme Court struck down a ballot initiative that would have enshrined the right to abortion in that state's constitution. And while the court certainly is to be applauded for this decision, just in all fairness and honesty, look, there were efforts by many, many groups, many individuals who worked to keep that proposed amendment off the ballot. One of those was the Family Council, whose president now joins me to talk about this, Jerry Cox of the Family Council. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on the program and just appreciate the great work that you guys are doing.
Hey, listen, back at you. Great work. Congratulations. This is a huge win. Why don't we just start right there? Tell us a little bit more about what this ballot initiative was all about.
Well, Arkansas is one of the states that has the ballot initiative process where people can go out and get signatures and put a measure on the ballot. And so that's exactly what the pro-abortion folks did. They gathered enough signatures, they thought at least, to qualify for the ballot and put a measure on the ballot to amend the Arkansas Constitution that would, as you said, enshrine abortion into our state constitution. It was a very bad measure. It would have legalized abortion for the entire 9 months of pregnancy in many cases, and pretty much obliterated all of the good restrictions that we've had on abortion to protect the health and safety of women. But, we and others around the state organized committees and launched a massive effort to urge people across the state of Arkansas to not sign the abortion petition. And I've been around the petition process for almost 40 years here in Arkansas, and I've never seen that many people rise up all at once and urge people not to sign a petition. We believe that reduced their number of signatures probably by about 50% when they should have gathered nearly 200,000. They barely gathered 100,000. And that was with hiring almost 300 paid canvassers. So hats off to all the people around the state that stepped up and held up placards that said decline to sign. I think it made a huge difference. And without getting into a lot of technicalities, I think it lowered their numbers enough that they really did not have a case when the Secretary of State disqualified them.
Wow. Incredible. Well, again, hats off to you and all the many, as you also give credit to individuals and organizations involved in that process. Can you tell us a little bit about the Supreme Court decision itself?
Well, I was amused because about 10 years ago, the gambling interest of all people trying to protect their monopoly on gambling got some laws passed that are very specific when it comes to how you do your filings of paperwork and so forth when you do a ballot measure. And they did that so they could stop people who are trying to change the Constitution that would affect their gambling monopoly. Well, those laws have been sitting there for about 10 years. And lo and behold, it was the abortion folks who failed to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And the law is very specific. It's like a football game. You may be running for the goal line and there's nobody there to stop you, but if you step out of bounds just a little bit, it's all over. And that's what they did. And I just thought, how odd that it was the gambling interest that put this law in place, and yet it tripped up the abortion folks when they were trying to amend the Constitution.
That is really funny. I was not aware of that part of the story, Jerry. That is... You know, the old boomerang effect, and it's great that of all people, the boomerang came back around figuratively and hit them in the head this time. That's great.
And nobody knew much about that law. It had just been sitting there. And, you know, thanks to the Secretary of State and the Attorney General, they looked real hard at the law and they said, you know what? I'm sorry, but you just didn't qualify according to the law. And laws matter.
Well, let me wrap up last question here. What message does all of this send, do you think, for other states? What would you say to other states?
Well, I would say, first of all, launch a very aggressive grassroots effort and urge people not to sign the petition. That was a game changer because without getting into the weeds too much, if they had gathered 3,000 more signatures, just 3,000 more, they would have had a case then to say, this effort needs to go forward. We need a 30-day cure period. We need all these constitutional guarantees. But because our people around the state, and I mean all of them, blunted their signature effort just enough, they fell about 3,000 signatures short. Had that not occurred, I think we would still be fighting this measure.
Wow, that's remarkable. And that it shows yet again that every vote matters, every signature matters, every attempt to do the right thing matters. 3,000 votes is very, very little when you're talking about an entire state. Jerry Cox, thank you so much for the incredible work that you have done. And all your co-laborers, this is fantastic news. And we here at FRC, along with people all across this country, are celebrating right alongside you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate all the prayers.
All right, friends, stay tuned. Coming back after the break, we're going to be talking about early voting. You just heard an example of how every signature matters. Well, so does every vote. Early voting, election resources, all sorts of things are critical. We'll be covering those bases there right after the break. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host for today, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you with us. Listen, just by way of reminder, you just saw it, but let me just underscore it. Our Pray Vote Stand Summit is going to be taking place October 3rd through the 6th in Washington, D.C. Friends, you don't want to miss this, if at all possible. We'd love to have you, and you will forever be grateful that you attended. I want to encourage you right now to write this down. Go to the website here in about 20 minutes. Don't go to the website right now. Write down the website, prayvotestand.org, and go check it out here as soon as the program is over for more information and or to register today. Pray Vote Stand coming to D.C. on October 3rd. And then also, I also mentioned this, but again, I want to underscore this. Both party conventions are now over. If you are concerned, and I know you are, with the direction that our country is currently headed, we want to encourage you to make your voice heard. Family Research Council has a 2024 election survey out, and we would love to hear what's most important to you so that we can keep those issues front and center. Simply text the word election to 67742 to participate. Again, that's election to 67742. And speaking of elections, it's hard to believe, but early voting begins next month, here in just days, literally, in Vermont, in Pennsylvania, Virginia, Illinois, Minnesota, South Dakota. All of these, early voting starts next month. And then immediately thereafter, many more states are going to be following. So there's so many things out there to get done, and there are so many individuals who are wondering, should I vote early? That question is posed to me on a regular basis. Jody, should I vote early or should I wait to the election day? Well, here now to discuss this is Debbie Wuthnow. She's the president of iVoter Guide. Debbie, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to have you.
Great to be here.
All right, so let's begin with this. What do you say to a Christian out there, a voter, who may not feel energized about this year's election? Let's put it that way.
Well, whether you're energized or not, it is our responsibility to participate in this election. So we can't let our voices be buried. We've got to make our voices heard. And that means getting out there and voting. The people who we elect impact the direction this nation takes. We know we are at a critical juncture. You hear it all the time. This is the most important election in my lifetime. But I think everybody says this really is. And Christians have to be salt and light and make their voices heard by voting. But you can't vote if you're not registered. And if you can't vote on election day, you need to vote early. But I know we're going to get into that a little bit more, Jody.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. The importance of voting early versus waiting to election day. Your opinion on that and your advice.
Well, my most important opinion is that it's important to vote. If you can't vote on election day, vote early. I personally like to vote on election day. I like to get my little sticker and walk around with my sticker. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody should do that. We've had, you know, we have staff members who've had some health and issues with medical problems or family issues, and they can't get to the polls on election day. Frequently, people who work on campaigns or in, you know, in the government can't get away on election day. You have to make sure you vote. So look at your calendar and make a plan. If you have other plans on November the 5th, or it's going to be difficult or complicated, vote early. There are people who are concerned about things that happen. There can be shenanigans that happen on election day with, you know, we had ballot places that ran out of paper in Houston, or, you know, things, the power goes out or something happens. So, you know, it's better to make sure your vote counts and do it early than to wait and not have it count at all.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. I mean, many, and it all depends on what state a person lives in, for sure. But there are some states that even their identities or whatever is involved or tampered with, and they go to vote on election day only to be told you've already voted and that type of thing. So, you know, depending where you live, exercise wisdom. And again, underscoring, Debbie, what you're saying, vote, vote, vote. We've got to vote. All right. So as this early voting is getting started, how do people go about registering to vote if they have not already done so?
Well, it has to happen in your particular state, and iVoterGuide.com has all the resources you need. So if you go to iVoterGuide.com and scroll down and click on your state, there's a pop-up map, and we will show you, I have a little blurb about how early you have to register. Some states allow registration up until election day. Some states you have to do it 29 days, 35 days in advance. We let you know what that guideline is. So you need to know when your registration deadline is if you're not already registered. And then we also have links to register to vote and to even request an absentee ballot if you need to request an early ballot so that you can be prepared if you can't go on election day. So iVoterGuide.com has all the resources to help you both to determine, to make sure you're registered and to make a plan to vote. As well as when it's time to vote, we help you know about the candidates.
Well, yes. I mean, the voter guides and so forth. Of course, we have had for a long time a great relationship with iVoter Guide, and at FRC Action, we do a lot to help and assist in distributing those, getting them out. Tell me real quickly, tell our viewers and listeners some of the other resources that iVoter Guide has to offer.
Well, if you go to iVoterGuide.com and you click on the Take Action web action tab, we have resources for your church. We have bulletin inserts that you can hand to your pastor. We have push cards you can pass out. We even have door hangers if you're going to block walk that can let them know about iVoter Guide. But the best resource really is to sign up for our email alerts, and we will let you know when early voting starts in your neighborhood or your state. We will let you know when we've released the voter guide in your state. And even after this critical election in November, if there's a special election that we offer coverage, we'll let you know. We also send you educational emails so you know about early voting and when you should vote early. What does the Secretary of State do? We just have once a week educational emails to make sure everybody is informed about the issues, informed about the civics, and as well as knowing when it's time to go and vote. And it's all available at iVoterGuide.com.
All right. Excellent stuff. We've got to wrap up here, but let me get this. I want this information. So you just mentioned some of these resources can be distributed in churches. Big issue right there. Are there any legal do's and don'ts when it comes to the voter guides?
Well, click on our church resources, and we have a do's and don'ts handout on our website that you can use with your pastor, because you can tell them about iVoter Guide. We even have a letter from our legal counsel telling a church that they can point to iVoter Guide, because we don't tell you who to vote for. It's just information to equip Christians to vote wisely. So all of that's available on our church resource tab. Pastors can tell people about iVoter Guide. They've done it. They continue to do it. You can pass it. You can tell your friends and your neighbors about iVoter Guide. If you find it useful for yourself, share it with others by signing up for our email list and for sharing the resources.
Thank you, Debbie Wethnow, so much. The incredible work that you and the whole team do at iVoter Guide. One more time, what is that website?
iVoterGuide.com. Enter your address, get your personalized ballot.
Fantastic. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back again real soon. All right, continuing our look ahead at this 2024 election, what should voters keep in mind as we move forward to November? It seems like there are so many plates spinning, so many issues out there revolving, orbiting all around us. What do we need to stay focused on? Well, joining me now to discuss this is Matt Carpenter. He's the director of FRC Action. Matt, thanks so much for joining me today on Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for the invite, Jody. Great to be with you.
All right. So we know that there may be some in our audience who, quite frankly, may be discouraged by some of the quality of the candidates or issues right now taking place among some candidates, particularly perhaps in the presidential cycle election. But there's more at stake than just the White House. The White House is critically important. No one denies that. But that's not the only race that's important, correct?
Oh, you're exactly right, Joey. There are 535 members of Congress who every 2, 4, 6 years are running for re-election. And, as you know better than most, Jody, our founding fathers saw fit to bless us with a distributed system of government where not one body has all power. We've got an executive branch, a judicial branch, and a legislative branch. And Congress is endowed with immense authority to raise and levy taxes, to pass legislation, to approve nominees and appoint, and I guess has an immense investigative power as well, Jody. And, we're looking at kind of what the battleground is across this country right now. You've got about three toss-up Senate races in Montana, Ohio, and also in Montana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And we've also got 20 to 25 toss-up House races. And what's interesting, Jody, is a lot of these places that are competitive for Congress, it's not a one-to-one with places where you expect will be competitive at the presidential level. Everyone's kind of familiar with the 7 to 8 presidential battleground states. But for voters in California and New York and Montana and some of these other places that aren't going to get a lot of attention at the presidential level, they're going to be able to decide, does Speaker Johnson retain the speaker's gavel come 2025? Does Chuck Schumer get to preside over the Senate again? So there's immense power in some of these states that aren't getting a lot of attention at the presidential level. And Americans in places that, like I mentioned previously, they got to be looking at their ballot and figuring out, do I have a chance to pick a new member?
And, I think that's so important. Matt, what you just shared. I mean, let's just play out the scenario here, and I'm not making any predictions. I don't know what's going to happen. I certainly have my preferences, what I hope happens. But just for sake of discussion here, let's just say that we end up in November with a Harris-Waltz administration. Mm-hmm. Right? At that point, it is exceedingly important that Republicans at least maintain the House and the Senate, wouldn't you say? I mean, this is part of the checks and balances that we have. If we have, at a time like this, for example, a hard left-leaning administration take the White House, the House, and the Senate, they can do anything they want to do to the American people. So the checks and balances are important. And this goes to underscore that this is much more than just about the White House. Is that what you're saying?
You're right, Jay. There's been a lot of attention on sort of the radical track record and the radical platform that we're hearing from the Harris-Waltz ticket, but not so much attention has been paid to, frankly, what Chuck Schumer is promising to do if he gets full control of the Senate and you get a Democrat with the speaker's gavel. They're promising that they're going to federalize our elections. They're promising that they're going to pass radical anti-religious freedom legislation like the Equality Act. They're going to pass the Women's Health Protection Act. So Congress is an immense check on not just the executive branch, but just the radical leftist pro-abortion agenda, anti-faith, anti-family agenda to begin with. It's super important that Christians look up and down their ballot and make wise decisions come November.
Extremely well said and a great point. Again, it's just the issues are much bigger than one race. It's much bigger than the White House, and we need to keep that in mind. But even it's bigger than just Congress. I mean, we've even had on the program this evening some discussion about some state referendums. I mean, there's a lot happening on the state levels as well.
Yeah, you've got five states that that will have pro-abortion, unfortunately, amendments to their state constitution on the ballot. You heard the good news from Arkansas earlier. So now take Arkansas off the map, but there's still four states that are considering some kind of ballot measure. We'll see how that pans out in the next few weeks. But you've also got positive constitutional amendments that voters can vote on, measures that would, for example, make sure that only U.S. citizens get to vote in American elections. Who would have thought, Jody, that this would be something we'd have to vote on? But I think that's an immense draw for voters concerned about election integrity to overcome their fear of what could happen or what might happen, or are the voter rolls purged? Get out and vote for those good measures. You got a ballot measure in Alaska that would do away with ranked choice voting. We've seen how that's panned out where it's been tried, and so that's a very positive development. So there are ballot measures. It's important that voters figure out what's going to be on their ballot, not just candidates, but they can also vote on policies that will have an impact on future generations.
Well, as we wrap up, and we've only got a couple of minutes, Matt, but FRC Action has a lot of voter resources. We've got a lot to help people. Kind of unfold some of that, unpack some of it for our audience to better engage this upcoming election.
Sure. We've got resources to help you register to vote. It's important to make sure you're registered to vote at your current address. We've got resources on party platforms, kind of our historical work there. We've also got voter guides. We'll be unrolling voter guides in the near term. At the presidential level, at the Senate level, key House races, and then also gubernatorial races. We're going to look at the records, look at the statements of these candidates who are running in these key matchups. We've also got materials that'll tell you how your incumbent voted. We've got our scorecard that goes back to 2002. So if you've got a member of Congress who's been hanging out for a couple decades, you can figure out how they've been voting on the issues that I care about. But I would encourage your audience, Jody, text GUIDE to 67742 to get in the waiting list for our voter guides once those are available.
All right, text GUIDE, G-U-I-D-E, text GUIDE to 67742. Matt Carpenter, great, great information. Thank you so much for all the work that you do at FRC Action, and deeply appreciate you coming on the program this evening to talk about this extremely important topic on multiple fronts. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jody. Great to be with you.
All right, friends, that wraps up yet another edition of Washington Watch today. And boy, we've covered a lot of ground. Again, I want to encourage you to text the word GUIDE to 67742 so that you can stay on top of multiple issues, candidates that are happening all across the country. There's so much coming up, and we want you to be as informed as possible. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back again tomorrow here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.